Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to Some Days You Just Need to Go Hiking.
This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, patriots. And tonight is Friday, here we go, April 26th in the year 2024. It's been a long week. And kind of trying to remember everything that happened this week is pretty crazy. A lot of travel and a lot of movement across the nation, a really beautiful country we have. And it's been a really wonderful journey back home. But again, it's one of these things that once we settle in and start to look at the muck, shoveling just doesn't seem to get us to the bottom fast enough. We have such an amazing nation. We really do. And it's the literally the coast to coast. One of the things I love most about driving is that you get to actually see it. When we fly, we just observe from the top, but we don't really get down on the ground in the grit of what it's really about. We're not a perfect country. We're not a perfect people, but we do have a beautiful country indeed. And there's so much richness here that we literally have not, we all should explore, but we just don't explore enough. One of the things, I don't know if you've done, I spent one summer doing it extensively, is stopping at every one of these little historical road markers, signages to tell you a little part of our history. And it's amazing what you learn about who we are and about the events of our past that's never taught in schools, but it's marked at some little state park or some little signage on a memorial state place or federal or whatever, but it's pretty amazing. So encourage you to do that if you get a chance. Those are really some eye-opening discussions or testimonies of our history that we just often just don't get. We are living in a time, honestly, that if fatiguing might be an understatement. We are dealing with people that just cannot seem to get enough of stupid, and we literally have a ton of them. And it's amazing how much people enjoy being divisive and hateful across the spectrum of all things. And I'm puzzled by that, I have to be honest with you, other than the fact that there's probably an adrenaline aspect to this that locks people in and makes them feel, it gives them a boost from their dopamine and other drugs in their brain. But people, I think, just enjoy being a pain in the backside. And I also think that people enjoy just being obstinately dumb. And I don't really know how else to say it. There are just a group of people out here that live for a fight and live for causing division among people. And this is what we face. And ultimately, the only way to really engage that is to pray into it and walk away and just let them have their stupidity. Our country is so deeply divided right now, and it's divided in such a deep way, in a wrong way. And those divisions aren't getting better. We're seeing those divisions continuing to separate as you have one class of people wanting to go more towards artificial intelligence. And even the people I'm shocked at, people that should know better, looking at artificial intelligence as like a new tool to use to expand their message or expand their reach or expand their business operations. AI is a tool that learns from us. It's not a tool that's used by us. It's a tool that learns from us. And the more that it learns from us, the more that it takes from us. And that's an issue that people seem to struggle with because they like the gimmicks. They like the flash, the bang. They like these widgets. That's why apps have become so successful. And this is why phones are so addictive, is because it's the latest bell and whistle instead of just the practical functionality of who we are. I spent some time today just on the farm, on the ranch, just going around, checking fences, made a list of things I had to go get, went stopped by the feed and supply store, checked out some of their things there, bought some mineral for the cows. These are things AI doesn't do. These are real things. These are things to kind of get myself back in pace, pay the bill that I had on the account at the feed and seed store, get their advice on a few things for the animals, whether it's the chickens or the dogs or the cows and calves. Start getting prepared to set up the corral so we can do some banding and we can do some deworming. That's all coming up. And these are practical things. These are real things. Making sure that my hives are sent at the right time. I'm traveling next week, so I have to have them shipped the following week. And I've got 4 new hives coming in as I prep for that. Walking the dogs, getting the dogs trained and first introduced to the cattle. These are real tangible things. And when you do them, we are detached from the ridiculous of what our world is. Social media is a cancer. It gets into us. It infects us. It makes us think that we are living in a world that is so complete and total, when in fact, most everything that we deal with in social media is a matrix imagination. We have a post by Laurel Logan that we read earlier today that she discovered that every single time she used certain words, trigger words, COVID or pandemic or other things, it immediately triggered a sex bot, which is now, we learned, has now standard practice in the algorithm, so that your feed would be polluted with sexual comments. These people are sick. And the people that is, we say these people and we want to look high and want to believe that there's some sort of high level architecture here that is doing all of this. And it, to a certain degree, they're the ones at least that have created this. But it's all the drones out here that continue to do these things that are wrong. Where's our moral ethics? Where's our moral foundation? Where's that place in our life where we literally say enough is enough? I've made this comment a couple of times this week, and it's a good question to ask. Consider taking your animal, your dog, your cat, your goat, your cow, into a vet and saying, I would like its gender changed. If they didn't laugh you out of the office, they'd probably call the psych ward to have you looked at. And the irony is, they literally would look at you for something that stupid. But bring your child in and tell them that you want a gender change, and the surgeons will line right up. What's wrong with us? How did we get here? How did we get to such a place that we are so emotionally and spiritually debased that we are literally sacrificing the greatest gift we ever have, trashing our nation willfully, and just watching this whole inferno burn? I don't get it, and I don't get the lack of broad-spectrum will. And, of course, when I'm speaking to an audience that understands this, so don't take these comments personally. But it is a reflection of these comments that I'm making of who we have become that I think is most disturbing. Because as a nation, we have lost a great deal of pride in who we are. We've lost an enormous amount of care for who we are. And so many things are happening simultaneously that we just seem to be out of control. We can't seem to control anything, therefore we choose to control nothing. We all love, or you should respect at least, Bishop Emmanuel from Australia. Let's listen to this. This is good.
Now who put Joe Biden in the White House? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You know why? Because he is sending a message, and a profound one too, to the United States of America. He said, I have given you a president that forgets his name because you, America, have forgotten my holy name. You have forgotten. Forgotten. And this is a warning out of love. Because if you continue forgetting my name, the next time my hand will come upon you. And let me see your superpower saving you from the hand of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let me tell you this. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is God. Be careful.
He is so accurate on that, and it's a great perspective on why we received what we did. We are dealing truly with a land of idiocy at a certain point. People that are complacent, and this offends people many times, and I just can tell you I don't care, because we have so many people out here unwilling to step up, take action, be informed, that we're watching the ship sink as people literally clink glasses and listen to the violins. We have people that are working diligently every day, trying to wake others up, praying, being vigilant with God. People that have put their lives on the line down on the border. They're doing everything they can to save a nation. And yet it's just like you have a whole mass of people out here that keep taking out the drills and drilling more holes in the ship. Why is that? What has happened that there's so much hatred for America? Why has that happened that there's so much hatred for our own selves? And there's your core right there. Because when you hate a nation like this, because you hate yourself. And all of that comes from a dark reflection on who we are. Language warning on this, but I want you to hear this. This has some pretty intense language.
People in Congress should be arrested and in prison for poisoning you. I would be arrested and go to jail. I'd go to prison if I started poisoning my spouse. Wouldn't I? Hello? Why are the people that are doing this to us not being arrested and put away where they fucking belong? Oh, that's right. Because as soon as this gets out, it's going to be fucking taken down. That's why. That's part of the reason. And the other part is there's still so many of you that are so fucking dumb and blind and brainwashed. I'm not saying that out of judgment. I promise you, I'm not. I don't judge. I don't have judgment. I'm not saying that in judgment. I'm not putting you down. You are not inferior to me or to anybody. I am saying it because it's the fucking truth and you need to wake the fuck up for real. Okay? Because the only way to stop all of this is if you actually wake the fuck up for real and you wake up for real and decide to join the fucking revolution and say, I don't. People in Congress should be arrested and in prison for real and decide to join the fucking revolution and say, I don't tolerate this anymore. It is inexcusable what is put in our goddamn food. It's attempted murder. That's what they should be charged with. The people who pass the laws that allow this poison in our food, in our water system, etc., should be put in prison.
We are dealing with so many layers of poisoning, so many layers of unbelievable level of attack against us. It's a stunning experience, and it's something I think that we just are having a hard time as a nation really processing. I played this piece this morning. I want you to hear this.
A warning to America. 25 ways the U.S. is being destroyed in under 2 minutes. 1, open borders and illegal immigration. 2, rampant crime and unsafe cities. 3, mass addiction and fentanyl. 4, election insecurity and interference. 5, the educational indoctrination of children. 6, the asymmetrical weaponization of justice. 7, the destruction of private property rights. 8, inflation and debt. 9, the global depopulation agenda. 10, record low fertility and plummeting birth rates. 11, unaccountable federal bureaucracies. 12, toxic food supply. 13, vaccine and pandemic disinformation. 14, the trans contagion and sterilization of children. 15, overprescription of pharmaceuticals. 16, destruction of the nuclear family and parental rights. 17, DEI and the new racism. 18, moral and societal decay. 19, the financing of endless foreign wars. 20, the sprawling surveillance state. 21, the centralization and consolidation of government power. 22, the destruction of trust in institutions. 23, the censorship industrial complex. 24, state media propaganda. 25, the smearing of those who challenge it.
And there you go. 25 ways that we're being dismantled in under 2 minutes. Impressive. And that's the short list probably, but it's accurate nonetheless. And we watch a nation that is very consumed still with the importance of finding the best deal at Walmart or Ross or whatever. As the buying power declines, people's jobs are being removed. And all that becomes is a complaining. Tesla's laying off 3,500 people or 3,300 people. You have jobs being lost all across the nation right now, quietly and selectively in markets. No one's saying anything, as we're told that unemployment's about 6 million people, because they ignore 99 million people that are no longer in the workforce. This is how lunacy we are right now. And we are truly at a lunacy moment. We are at a point when the insane run the asylum, and we're sitting here and accepting it. There's days like this. I'm sitting looking out at the mountains right now. We've got clouds up on Mount Scott, green hillsides, beautiful. The dogs are outside right now, chewing on bully sticks. I think they've got a better perspective on how life has worked than we do. They don't have gender issues, and they understand that when things get a little tense, grab a bully stick and chew it to the nub. And their life and function is very pure. But we've become so wrapped around all the things that we can't control that at the end of the day, we just watch and do little as a nation, as a people, as the inferno just takes it all down. So what do we do? And I think that ultimately it's not that difficult. One of the principal things we have to do is stop engaging. When I say that, we have to step back from these corporate monsters and beasts. And it's not easy. I just went to Petco today, and I just went to Ross's today, and I went to Home Depot today. So me and I'm a consumer of the corporate enterprise, which is, it frustrates me, because it's not a place that we should all be going to, but we seem to be caught in these traps. But we have to find a way through. And we have to start working together more to try to build those bridges. You know, as I sat here and I bought a dog bed today because I need an extra one for the office, you know, I'm thinking, like, you know, I have a sewing machine sitting in the house. Why am I not making it? And I'm not making it because I haven't taken the time to pre-plan. There's a fault, right? And it's something that we do too often because we fall in the trap of convenience. It's easier to jump on Amazon and spin through real quickly, as we do, and get things tomorrow or day after, then take the time to plan out what we need so we can make it or build it. My parents, the era, that's what they did. They took time. Things slowed down. You made things. Today, we just buy stuff, and if it doesn't work, we return it or throw it away. And that's at the core of so much of our problems as a nation, is the concept of convenience. Convenience kills, will be the killer of humanity. It will destroy us from within in the most wretched way, because we can't seem to understand that the process is what we're here for, not the outcome. And that's an important thing to consider. We have to literally take a look at where this is all going. And right now, one of the things they're starting to do is starting to start squeezing the financial system so that we are going to be forced into the CBDC. And they're doing it in a very stealth way. Take a listen.
SWIFT payment system is now planning to roll out a platform that is going to connect the emerging central bank digital currencies, that's CBDCs, into a single global network, a one world currency system.
90% of central banks around the world, all of these countries are looking into it. A lot of them have it already in the pilot phase, their CBDC programs. So this is a thing that is happening. We've already seen countries rolling it out. We didn't have centralized banking in this country up until about, 111 years ago? So it's not necessary to a free market system. It puts complete control and observation, removes privacy, all in the hands of the central bank. When you have the Federal Reserve maintaining the baseline interest rates and is trying to maintain a certain level of inflation, that is a very fundamental layer of control over our economy in general. It's a whole level of control that we've never seen before. And it's so much easier with just clicking buttons as opposed to trying to deal with physical dollars.
And there you go, because when they have physical dollars, they can't track what you do. You know, what's interesting is we still have a large percentage of people out here that just, they have an interest, say, in doing some homesteading or some interest in raising a few things, but they're not understanding that fundamentally that's the core of the life change. This isn't a question of being a hobbyist. It's a question of a lifestyle change we have to make. We have to get back to the basics. I'm very blessed. I have 32 head of cattle out here. I was looking at them today. Beautiful animals. None of them will be ready to harvest this year. They'll be ready to harvest next year. So as I look at this and I'm hoping that the bull does his job, which I think he will. And I really don't have any concerns about him. But this next year's birth rate is, the birthing is going to be different. Last year, they all birthed within about a month and a half. Next year, I think it'll be spread out. But it's going to take another year before these cattle are ready to harvest. So the beef that I have, if I'm going to be true to the form, is what I have for a year and a half. That's the reality. We take, in our family, we take gardening very seriously. We are raising most of our own food, but still there's an intensity that's lacking in our culture to say, I want to be free from the system. When you provide your own food, you break one of the big hooks in your life of corporate control, and you get back to eating healthy. Eating healthy is what gives us that foundation, truly, of understanding that that's where we're going to start pivoting this, because they've done so much to poison our food, poison our environment, poison who we are. It's really getting insane.
Forget about farting cows or drinking coffee or breathing, because we, of course, exhale CO2. Now there's a new cause of climate change. They just released the next one. And people who claim to be researchers are saying that doing this just once is the equivalent of driving a car over 6 miles. It turns out, folks, that wearing jeans is now a cause of climate change. The basis of it was this. They want to reduce the amount of clothes you purchase every year. And as part of that program, they want to reduce the amount of options you have from companies that manufacture these types of products. Maybe buy less clothes and wear your clothes more, which means what? You do exactly what that government agreement globally says we should do. It means it's fitting in with that narrative. It means it's lining up with that agenda.
I guess the funny part when I hear these things is, why would we even comply? Sewing machines should be on full speed right now. We've talked about this here before, but it's stunning to me how hard it is to find good clothes. Probably when I think one of the biggest markets out there is people making clothes. We have amazing seamstresses out here. And yet you don't see that as an emerging market. Why? I mean, this is part of us building an alternative system, an alternative economy, and fundamental to that is clothing. Fundamental to that is shoes. Armand Serra is an amazing seamstress. She makes shoes, she makes handbags, and she also does clothing. She's also, her talent is amazing. She's pursued for the sorts of things she does in a good way. But it's time to really start pivoting our mentality here. We have to start understanding that if we don't start making a change, we're going to be guilty of causing the destruction rather than causing hope or producing hope. Albert Einstein said, the world will not be destroyed by those who do evil, but by those who watch them without doing anything. We always think of a revolution in terms of guns and muskets because that's what's so deeply programmed. It's the worship of our guns rather than the worship of God. But there's so many things about this system that start to fall apart when people simply stop buying. And by that, we need to offer the alternative so people can. It also means we have to build our skills back because there's a lot of them missing, and a lot of shortfall in what we have as a society. And that just takes time and focus, but we have to do it. And whether it's raising animals and growing your own food, which is fundamental for almost everybody to a certain degree or another, we have the aspect of raising bees and all the products that come out of wax, or people that literally can make cloth from flax or hemp, even wool. And then what you can do with it. There was a guy that I met up in way up north in North Dakota back. I'm thinking back, that was about 1997, I believe. Believe it or not, he had been the personal chef of Charlie Chaplin, and he ended up in a small little town in North Dakota. He was an amazing chef. Amazing story. He was French. He came over to the United States, married an American woman. They ended up getting divorced. And in the whole rung of things, he ended up taking in his brother-in-law, who was in a car accident that the whole family on his wife's side had rejected. He was handicapped, paralyzed, and needed convalescent care. And he took him in and bought this place in North Dakota and took care of him. But he was of amazing talent, and he was a person that was always having to make and innovate things because he wasn't wealthy. He had lost that piece long before. And so he was constantly improvising. His food, like I said, was excellent no matter when you visited. But the one of the things he did, which was stunning, is he taught himself how to weave in the old sense of a vertical loom. If you've ever seen these are amazing. And lacking the sort of material that he needed for to weave, he decided that he would start collecting horsehair. And so he went around to the people that had horses and he took the combed out hair and he washed it and he made his own thread, his own, I guess that's right, thread, but it's not really right. That's yarn, I guess, in a sense, whatever they were using for the rugs. And then he ended up making horsehair rugs, 100% horsehair rugs. His first rug that he made, his first one, sold at an auction in New York City for $30,000. See, there's just so much amazing, thank you, someone said yarn. I was trying to think of the word, totally blanked it tonight. Thank you, Nikki. It's just so many amazing things that we can do when we start to innovate. I was talking to Everett Carson, and that was yesterday when I stopped by and saw his stopped by at his factory. And he was looking to, one of the things they add to the soles of shoes are things to add traction, whether you know this or not. And one of the preferred elements is to add hazelnut shells or walnut shells ground up into the rubber of the soles to gain traction. But suddenly there's a massive shortage of this and they're expensive and hard to get. So he's been doing experimentations and he has found that he can use pine cones. It's brilliant. And he gets them for free, which is even more brilliant. And he grinds them up and he's putting them in his soles. See, we're an amazing people. We really are. We are such an amazing people to be able to look at problems and be resourceful. That was a good word that was just given in chat. And overcome. And we need to get back to those principal issues. And the way we do it is to force ourselves away from dependency and force ourselves into innovation. And we have to also start realizing that part of the trap of this modern world has been the standardization of manufacturing so that everything looks the same, feels the same, is the same, and it dials into a perfection. Just listen to them talk about the new iPhones. Every time they release an iPhone, they do this big thing about how there's like this massive level of, you know, micrometer tolerance on everything that is just absolutely perfectly made, which always cracks me up because you spend all this ridiculous money on a phone and then you put a case on it and you can't even see the phone anymore. I mean, who cares? Which, by the way, the new phone, the iPhone 18 is coming out. It has an autonomous AI chip in it that will learn from you, learn your behaviors, and it will very happily share those behaviors to the master AI within the architecture of Apple. And Apple has decided to team with Google because that's always a helpful thing since Google is trying to create sentient AI, and they're trying to come together to create a very customizable AI for your experience on your phone. In other words, so the big brother doesn't look exactly the same everywhere, but functions more efficiently based on your preferences and your needs. We need to break through this, and we really do. Now, you know, it's interesting. My dad has been doing a class. My mom and dad, actually. I always say this. My mom, my dad and my mom, 87, 86, right? And my dad's like, we're going to a communication class. I'm like, okay. I mean, what does that mean? They're going to a communication class to learn how to use GMRS radios. I smile. It's always an inspiration when your parents are like pushing the window, no matter their age. They don't even know what age is. So there's GMRS radios that are now coming into our market here because people are putting up repeater towers. And why GMRS is important is because it is a replacement for the CB, but with a better structure of channels and a better repeater network. So that literally even right now, there's people in my county that are able to call somebody and talk to them on effectively a radio down in Florida. Good news, because maybe we won't need these cell phones after all. We need to get rid of the dependencies on technologies like this. And we start to start realizing the costs that we've been paying for this and what it's leading us to. Because literally we are going to a place where if we continue down this path, we are not going to do well. And in the midst of all this chaos, as we're trying to move us to a CBDC and they're trying to get things ready, they're preparing to bankrupt this economy, but they're doing it very steadily. It's not happening all at once. What they're trying to do is doing it one step at a time, so that quite literally when it's all through, you won't even recognize what has happened. You know, there's a great meme that I came across today with a guy wearing a Che Guevara shirt and a communist, a hat with a little pillbox hat, with a hat with a communist star, and he's screaming and he says, "Death to America after you pay my college loans first." Of course, always about me, always wanting to take for themselves. It's a little bit ludicrous. But we're dealing with a state that's out of control. And we have to ask ourselves, what is it that they're so afraid of? And it's a big question, because it's beyond just the fact that people are waking up. We know there's many that aren't. But there's apparently something that they're so significantly afraid of that they have to decide to annihilate every Christian that they can. And they're working as fast as they can to do so. Why is that? What is it that we have that they don't? What is it that we have that they fear? And it should ask us all a question. We should all ask that question, because apparently evil understands more about us than we want to accept about ourselves. And that's a tragedy, when the evil can look at it and realize what we are, but what our potential is, and yet we're not using it. Apparently they're concerned that we might wake up to it, and in the end, they would be left without anything. So we turn to politics, and we try to do politics, and we try to say in politics, what can we do in politics? How can we save these things? And who can we vote in? And what can we do as a people? Let's get our ballots fixed. Let's do a better job at voting. But how does voting work when people willfully and wantingly want to corrupt and cheat the system just because they don't like the other candidate? What's that say about a nation? Take a listen to this.
Was there voter fraud? Well, we know there was some. Just ask people, did you personally commit voter fraud? Well, that has just been done. And the answer is a huge percentage of people asked in the poll admitted, yes, I committed voter fraud. It's remarkable.
We asked people a series of questions, the first of which is, did you vote in the 2020 election and did you vote with an absentee ballot? And if they answered yes to both of those questions, then we asked a bunch of questions related to voter fraud. We asked, did you vote in a state where you're no longer a legal resident? 17% of people, nearly one in five, said yes, they did do that. We asked people, did you fill out a ballot for someone else on their behalf? 21% of people said yes to that question. We asked if people forged the signature of a friend or family member on their behalf, and 17% of people said yes to that. All told, it's at least one in five mail-in ballots involved some kind of fraudulent activity. We also asked, has anyone ever admitted to you that they did one of these kinds of forms of voter fraud? And 10% said yes. If we just take the one in five mail-in ballots could be related to fraud, and you apply that to the numbers of the 2020 election, what you end up with is potentially 13 million fraudulent mail-in ballots. Donald Trump lost the election in the popular vote by about 7 million ballots. If this poll is reflective of reality, it is proof that the 2020 election results can't be trusted.
No, I think this is where we struggle, because we say the 2020 election results can't be trusted. I'm going to add another layer to that. Americans can't be trusted anymore. What does that say about our fellow Americans that are willfully wanting to do this? What has happened to us? What's happened to our integrity as a nation? And again, so much of this happens in a decadent world where you're no longer accountable and responsible. You know, it's fun to garden, or it's fun to have chickens, or it's fun to do this, or it's fun to do that. But when you really take on that responsibility and own it, you're carrying life in your hands. You're nurturing food for yourselves. You're propagating a necessity that you need, because otherwise we shouldn't even give ourselves the option of having to shop at a grocery store. It should be that we move to a place where there is only that which we produce. And when we get to that sort of mentality again, as it used to be, a lot of this nonsense of trimming the edges and trying to convince ourselves that we're not lying when we are, or not cheating when we are, it tends to go away pretty quickly. In fact, it's a self-rectifying problem indeed, because when you take those that want to focus their life on cheating and they don't want to focus their life on the truth and the integrity that's needed to literally raise food for their family, what you end up with are people that just starve to death. It's self-eliminating. And I'll be honest, I guess that's a good purge, because we don't need the people that want to constantly cheat and manipulate. It's just not right. We have to get back to the principal issues of who we are. And we have to get back to a place where the people we put in office are accountable for the things that they're supposed to be accountable for, not the things that they find themselves accountable for. Philadelphia has a sheriff, and she's a piece of work. It was the one before then who I've actually had lunch with. He was a piece of work. But this one's a whole nother level. Take a listen.
America's worst mayor, Tiffany Henyard, has some competition. Fox News senior national correspondent Kevin Cork is here with all the details. Kev.
Laura, what's the old saying? Watch what they do and not what they say. And certainly that would appear to apply to the sheriff in Philadelphia, because while the sheriff, Rochelle Bilal, swears that her office is, quote, consistently underfunded, and this jeopardizes the lives and safety of our sworn and civilian personnel, yes, that sheriff, well, apparently she's also quite the spendthrift. How so, you ask? Well, for starters, according to the Philadelphia Inquirer, she knows how to pony up some cash. $300K, for example, for a pop-up healthcare clinic. 40 G's for branded merchandise. Over $9,000 for an office foam mascot. And over $6,600 for a party over at Chickies and Pete's, which is a great place to watch a Flyers game. Which I suppose wouldn't be so bad if things in Philly weren't so, well, bad. You know, with the overdoses and the shootings and the mayhem and the like. Now, in response to the report, the sheriff's office there says the office makes purchases consistent with its mission to serve the community, goals, and law enforcement duties. The constant bashing of the Philadelphia sheriff's office and the character of Sheriff Rochelle Bilal since the day Sheriff Rochelle Bilal took office must stop. And unfortunately, for those of you who are hoping for peace, it didn't end there. Because, you see, Laura, the sheriff's office added that the Inquirer, the newspaper, had become a, quote, racist, sexist, anti-community, and libelous organization that fails to investigate or publish the truth of any matter regarding the office. So there, Laura.
And there it is. It's unbelievable. I don't even understand what's going on in the people that seek those offices. And how they go from being someone to where they think that they can steal and abuse the public service position just simply for their own benefit. No accountability. Nothing. You know, I'm sitting here, I'm watching the cows run down the hill. Why are they running? Because it's raining. And they're running to get under shelter. And it's real. And they're going down to eat hay, which is real. And the calves are having a fun time running ahead of their mamas. Those are very real things. It's, again, some days you just want to go hiking, because in the weather and in the storms is when we really feel what we really are about. Animals don't have that confusion. We do. People do. People have forgotten who we are, and in so doing, they start to tell ourselves that our genders are confused. The cow doesn't have its gender confused. And it's probably one of the number one things that I hit on, because it's one of the most insane. It's such an absolute insanity to think that parents are so retarded that they would actually consider allowing their child to be mutilated and to be sterilized. I don't get that. I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it. But I will say this. I would say that they are probably, if they're willing to do that to their child, then they're probably willing to torture an animal and find joy in it. That's the sort of sickness of our society that we have right now. And so we get into such a moment like this, we have to start asking the hard questions of who are we? Who have we become? What have we become? And unfortunately, those things that we see just don't look good. Minnesota State Senator Nicole Mitchell, who's a Democrat, was just arrested for first-degree burglary. This comes a few days after she publicly advocated for building safer communities. These people are psychopathic. They're brain damaged. They're ill. And this, as the poster writes, this is Libs on TikTok. You just can't make it up. Moms demand community members advocating for common sense gun reform and safer communities at a Minnesota-leg meeting, as well as providing Minnesota the mental health services they need to end gun violence in our neighborhoods. Well, maybe we should have mental health services for a representative, Democrat, state senator, who is a kleptomaniac, you know? Prime drinks. Here's another one for you. I mean, this is just the sickness of this is unbelievable. Prime drinks, which are an energy drink, if you don't know, is going through a lawsuit. The lawyer who tested their drink is claiming it has 3x, three times the amount of forever chemicals a human can safely have in a lifetime. Yeah,
so Prime is now going through a new lawsuit after it was discovered that their drink has PFOs, which is forever chemicals. But what's really concerning is the fact that the lawyer who tested their drink is claiming it has three times the amount of forever chemicals a human can safely have in their lifetime. And the lawsuit is claiming they found these forever chemicals in the grape-flavored Prime drink. However, it also seems like other flavors might also have these chemicals because other Prime flavors are being tested. And we're going to find out after the lawsuit is approved. One lawyer on TikTok actually spoke about this and said he had a 10-year-old and his mother talked to him about how her son got leukemia after drinking Prime. Now knowing that Prime contains these chemicals, it's very much likely because of it. These chemicals are known to cause cancers and deteriorate your health since they're forever chemicals and your body can't get rid of them. Prime has three times the amount of these chemicals a person should have in their lifetime, which is insanely concerning, and all we can do is hope that Prime doesn't contain any of these chemicals, which might be unlikely. So if you still drink Prime or have any, make sure you dispose of all of it until we find out what's going on with Logan's drink.
Yeah, this is incredible. How do you accidentally do that? And this ends up being kind of the default. It's like, well, they didn't really mean to do it. Maybe they just discovered it. They didn't know about it. Yes, they knew about it. This is all about poisoning the food system, about everything that you touch and drink. You know, it's like, this is a great meme here. Vaccines. It just shows a syringe with a bullet coming out of it instead of a needle. And it says, vaccines will do the job slowly and quietly. Hardly anyone will even know it's a Holocaust. Trust your vaccine, right? Trust your vaccine. And then we have these bumbling idiots like Joe Biden, which I don't even know who Joe Biden is anymore, but take a listen to this comment. This is epic.
In a sense, I don't know why we're surprised by Trump. How many times does he have to prove we can't be trusted?
Thank you, Joe. We know you can't be trusted. We know you all can't be trusted. But there you go. So in all of this, we kind of cruise along. The public sits back and says, okay, maybe things will get better politically. House Committee on Homeland Security found illegal aliens are costing us an estimated $451 billion per year. $451 billion per year. And we have a massing number of homeless in our cities. And that's another one of the things that we've become. We've become a disposable society. We talked about that in terms of products, but we're also a disposable society in terms of people. We dispose of children through vacuum cleaners that are stuck up into a uterus and vacuum a child out. We dispose of children by having their genitals cut off and their breasts cut off and turn them into something they're not. They're cast out. They're never going to be right. You can't fix that. They're forever destroyed. They can never reproduce. And most of them will commit suicide by age 30 or 33. And you have this constant throwaway, right? Now we have the homeless people. They're everywhere. But they're a nuisance. Let's not get them in my neighborhood. Can't have them in their neighborhood. Let's get rid of them. And we do nothing about it except watch them amass. So then we do videos about, look how despicable Oakland looks. Let's look how despicable Portland looks. Let's look how despicable San Francisco looks. Have you ever seen a video that says, look at the tragedy? Because we've detached ourselves from the human crisis that's going on here. Every one of us should be broken by these images of all these number of people that have been homeless. And I think some of it comes from this false sense of security and a very large sense of naivety to think that somehow you'll not end up there. We are literally, every one of us, on the very razor's edge of being deposed and put on the street. It's not that far off. And in most America, we're only 9 meals from anarchy because most families don't have more food in a house than 9 meals worth, and some don't even have that. We have poverty in our country, but we also have starvation in our country. We have homelessness in our country, but we also have mass drug addictions and overdoses. Just go to Kensington in Philadelphia, which was 2 blocks from where I used to live, that area. At that time in 2015 and 16, they were losing one person a night to fentanyl. Now it's much worse. And I'm just reflecting today as I look at what I would call the perfection of animal kingdom. You never see a mother, well, I won't say never, but I'm looking at a herd of cows that their calves are with them. They don't leave them out in the cold to die. They don't reject them. Once in a while it happens and you have to intervene and we take care of them. We have the animal kingdom has an amazing nature that is preserved within it to understand its roles and responsibilities. To raise up its young, so that they will become strong and the herd, the pride, whatever it is, will grow, the pack. Have you ever seen a wolf pack work? It's pretty amazing. They put the strongest, they lead with a strong wolf. And then right behind the strong wolf, somewhere in the middle is there, they put the elderly wolves, the wolves that aren't so, and they may be at the end, I can't remember exactly. But the thing is that they surround them with the best fighters to protect the flanks and to protect those. Our version of that is to take our elderly and cast them off into homes. Visit them once a year, maybe a couple times. Mom and dad went to retirement home. Now they're in an Alzheimer's clinic. It's good that they're taking care of them. I couldn't handle it at home. That's the comment you hear so often. How did we get here? And it's a puzzling thing for me because I've driven across this nation now multiple times in my life. And this trip was very powerful. This trip was highlighted at the end by a conversation that with his pastor. He was a Baptist pastor up in Grass Valley Church who is suffering from one of his own children having converted to the gender, which is a blow to him as a pastor because he has to now deal with that as he's trying to speak to his congregation. But two congregations, he has two churches, quite amazing, small towns. These towns aren't more than 150 people. And yet, out of the 25 in one church and the 30 in the other church, the number one issue he's faced with today isn't like it used to be, as he said. He said, I used to have to deal with alcoholism. Today, he says, I have to deal with gender identity. Gender identity in two churches, 130 and 125 in the congregation. This is our nation, a nation with the most beautiful landscapes. The nation with some of the hardest working people the world has ever seen. A nation has a heart truly in its right places for Jesus and God. But a nation that has been taken over by psychopathic pedophile elites that are doing everything they can to mainstream a destruction of this nation at the feet of God. I think it's time we do something about it. I think it's time that we step in and really engage. I think it's time that we go straight up berserker and start eliminating this evil and doing what we need to do to restore this nation. It's time for us to stand up. It's time for us to be heard. And it's time for us to not take the patience that we had with those that are waking up, but now kick them in the tail to wake up because we don't have time anymore. That's a luxury we don't get to have. It's a critical moment. And as they're destroying our youth, they're doing it on purpose. It isn't just a strategy to produce a future. It's because those youth that are arriving here are our reinforcements. That's what's supposed to make this all work. And we're simply sitting on the sideline collectively as a public and letting the vultures feed on them. I was sent an image as I was on my way back from Tucson in the fall, my third calf. He was a neighbor, great neighbor. I went to high school with him. His wife is a really good cattle handler who's teaching me a few things, which is nice. And the picture was what was left of my calf after the coyotes and the eagle ate it. It was just basically a spine and some bones. And it brought me to tears. I didn't know that animal. I didn't hold that animal. But it was just sad to see because I love these animals. We need to get back to loving ourselves. We need to get back to loving our children. We need to get back to loving our nation. And most importantly, we need to get back to loving God. We need to know his name, and he needs to know ours. Let's pray. Father God, I was going to come to you today just very humbled by all that we've discussed and we've witnessed over these last few years. It's a hard reality that we face. It's a hard reality of a nation that has literally turned its back on you in so many ways. Hard reality to a nation that's turned its back on itself. It's a nation that's morally stepping into a cesspool of bankruptcy, moral bankruptcy, to accept these things of thievery and compromise and lies and deceit. We understand the principles, Father, of Romans 1:18-32, of literally letting them walk in the reprobate mind because they choose to worship the creature rather than the creator. Father, we're just going to pray in tonight just to, for a mercy on this nation, a mercy that would allow us a moment here to be shaken in the right way, the deep way, a spiritual way, to cast off those scales from the eyes so that people can honestly see what the world is around them, to lift their head up and realize whom they serve, and to strip away the ability for people to doubt and condemn and to reject Jesus, but rather now place before them the indisputable experience that they can no longer deny that which they choose to deny. Father, we need you. We need you as much as ever right now. We need you for your grace. We need you for your wrath. We need you for your love. Because we've pushed ourselves too far. We've bent to the steel too completely. And it's hard to get it back. You're the Father of miracles, the maker of the way maker. So Father, make our way. Make our way forward now that we can see that path clearly. Be able to step in and know that every step we make is that by the authority of you that you want us to make. And in so doing, restore this nation and once again return it to the foot of the throne. Thank you, Father. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's not about getting down about these things. It's about looking at them honestly and asking the hard questions again and again. How did we get here? And I think these are things that are important to present to people with the questions. How did we get here? So an outrageous, highly high number of Democrats are now actually supporting sending the illegals out of the country. And that's happening because they finally have to face the consequences of what they themselves advocated for. But that's a point now where our nation is getting to that place. It's where the willow in the wind finally bends so much it almost is ready to snap. And in certain places, we have snapped. I don't know that we'll be able to get those places back anytime soon. But again, but God. So take some time. I would encourage you to reflect on these things and to reflect on the many other things that are where we're challenged with. Take them to God and pray. Ask for clarity and discernment of what we can do. And stay in the fight. Don't get overwhelmed because it looks like it's impossible. Just remind yourself that we have the God of possible. But do be honest. Don't allow yourself to put on the rose-colored glasses and to step back and say, oh, it's all going to be easy. 10 days of darkness and it'll all be better. I doubt that. Unless God himself executes that, which is fine. Most of all, love thy neighbor. Take time to know them. Break some bread and pray for the goodness of our nation because it's there. We have good people here. They're spread out, hard to find sometimes. But there's some really good people. It's what makes our country so great. So patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We are at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I will see you Saturday night. That's tomorrow night for the Gospel of Peace. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, good night, thank you, and out for now.
Oh, I wanna feel something. I just wanna breathe again. Dive into the deepest. Oh, I wanna feel some.